Here's a word that was passed on to me from one of the members in our body. I think it's just a reminder to us that our God is a miracle-working God. It says, I will by no means cast off the weak and the needy, for in my house, but I will help them, and I'll cause them to grow and be strong. It's kind of the inspiration for the message God's put on my heart today. I read this earlier in the week, and I was reading a testimony, I believe it to be a true testimony, and a book that was passed on to me of a Christian couple in the southern part of our country in a major city. The gentleman was about 50 years old, and he was diagnosed with a serious problem in his body, and doctors said he needed an organ transplant if he wanted to have any kind of a long life. And he and his wife took it very seriously. They prayed about it, and they put their name down on the list for that organ that they needed. And they said that at the time they both felt that, somebody would have to die before they would be able to get that organ and live. And after 5 months, they were told to come quickly to the hospital that they had a organ ready. This man went through a transplant, and the doctors felt it was successful, but complications began to build up in this man's life, and it worsened to the point where he was losing his feeling on one side of his body, and it just became so much that he finally told his wife, he said, I just can't take any more. And she said he went to sleep at that point, her husband. And when he woke up, he told his wife, he said, I believe I had a vision. And she said, well, tell me about it. And he said, I saw this tiny bright light coming towards me. And then appeared the face of a young girl. And she had short, beautiful, short blonde hair. And she spoke my name and said, don't give up. You can do it. God wants you to live. This was his testimony. And something happened in his heart, and he said, I can live. I will. And he began to improve. And today he's a healthy man. And the rest of the story, as I read it, goes something like this. When his wife was by his bedside after the surgery, she had the newspaper for the town that they were, where they were living, and she read about, she saw where a young 18-year-old girl had an automobile accident. She was hit by a train and killed. And the wife wondered, could that be the one that's donated her organ and so my husband could live? But they were told when they went into that program that if the operation is successful, then after a year, you can find out who gave the organ, as long as they're willing, and if you want to thank them, then you can. And so he and his wife waited, and they were anxious at the end of that year to find out who it was. And they were given the name, and they went to visit the parents of this 18-year-old girl. Was the one that had lost her life in an accident with a train. And the parents told them about her testimony. She was young. She just had a new car. And she had signed if something were to happen to her, that she would give an organ. And here's her picture. And he looked at the picture, and he said, this is the girl I saw in my vision. But the picture you showed me, she got long blonde hair. He said, when I saw her, she had short hair. And I guess the wife or the mother the girl began to cry, and she said, just days before that accident, she had her hair cut. Of course, she had short hair. I thought, you know, our God is a miracle-working God. That story just so blessed me. And today, those people are in fellowship. But what a faith-building thing to see our God as a miracle worker. I wish you'd turn to Psalm 91 and look with me at the, I know to many of you it's familiar, but what it actually says here in the first couple verses. Last Wednesday, we shared in our service on the 23rd Psalm, which is probably the most famous of all the Psalms. And these Psalms, we have to remember, were songs. And many times I've heard or saw it written that probably the second most popular song over the generations of time has been the 91st Psalm. Here's what verse 1 says. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. The Most High is El Elyon. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There's a special promise here. If we just look at what's said, for the person that dwelleth in the secret place. If we know what the secret place is, then we can set out to dwell there. The word dwelleth means to sit down, to remain, be settled, be at home. Now the secret place, what is it? Where is it? I want to know. It's a Hebrew word, pali, and it means a distinguished or great, remarkable, wonderful place, but it's secret in the sense it's hidden unless it's revealed by God. And it's El Elyon, the Most High God, which is obviously God the Father, who reveals this. I was thinking of the times I've been able to visit the northern part of Israel, at Caesarea Philippi, and Matthew chapter 16 tells us Jesus was there looking up at Mount Hermon, the water that would come down to refresh the Sea of Galilee. He had his disciples with him, and he asked them a question. Who do men say that I am? And so they said, well, some say you're Jeremiah or John the Baptist or one of the prophets. And then Jesus said, who do you say I am? And Peter, always quick to speak up, he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, Peter, what flesh and blood that revealed that secret to you? It was my Father that revealed it to you. See, and I believe that's a secret that God wants to reveal to all mankind. Titus 2:11 says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation will appear to all men. And that's what happened to Peter. And the Bible says in Colossians, I'm not going to turn there and read, but in the third chapter, about the third verse, it says, if you've experienced what Peter experienced, the revelation that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that we might have everlasting life. Then you have the secret. You know the secret. The Bible says that Titus 2:11, that secret God will reveal to all mankind, but not everybody will accept it. Not everybody will believe it. Not everybody wants to dwell there. But what a privilege to know there is a secret place of the Most High, and the shadow of the Almighty, the presence of the Lord will dwell over the life of that man or that woman. Those two references that I shared with you, Matthew chapter 16 and Colossians chapter 3, make it clear to me where the secret place is, because Colossians 3:3 says that believers are hidden with God in Christ. So the secret place is that place of salvation in Christ, where it's not just a come-go type thing. There's special promises to those that will dwell there, settle there. That's your home. That's who you are. And then before we share the benefits or promises, because verse 2 says, I will say of the Lord. We have the opportunity, if we know we're believers, I will say. And then I can confidently say these promises that are given. But there's one other chapter that's so tremendous about giving us a revelation of where the secret place is. And I want to read that text to you today, and I hope you have a Bible. You can turn to Judges chapter 13, the 13th chapter of Judges. This has been an unbelievable blessing in my life. Hallelujah. Judges chapter 13. It says, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the tribe of Dan. His name was Manoah. Now, it's interesting that most Hebrew names have a meaning attached to them. And the name Manoah really means somebody who dwells in safety. Their faith is settled in God. I mean, he fits the revelation of somebody dwelling in the secret place, Manoah. This man's name is mentioned 17 times in the King James Bible in one chapter. His whole story is just in this chapter. The only other time his name was used is, and that's not pertaining to him, but his son was buried in his burying place. His whole story is in this chapter. I had a Hebrew scholar sit me down once and share with me his understanding of the significance and the revelation of the number 17 in Hebrew revelation. This man's name 17 times. His wife, her name is not even mentioned. Listen to what happened. It says his wife was barren. They had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold, now I know you're barren. You've not had a child, but you're going to conceive and you're going to bear a son. And she says, or the angel of the Lord says, you have to be careful. This boy's going to be a Nazarite. He's got to be committed to the Lord. Told her to stay away from alcoholic beverage and so forth. She says she was told that her son would be a Nazarite. A razor should not come on his head. God's going to put a special anointing on his life, and he will begin to deliver Israel from the hand of the Philistines. Well, the woman was naturally excited. She came to her husband, to Manoah, and she said, a man of God came unto me. And she says his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God. Very terrible. You know, angels are said in Hebrews chapter 1 to be ministering spirits sent by God to minister to the heirs of salvation. But here's, and angels do not lift up themselves, but here's a special description of an angel. She said something special about this angel. Very terrible. I mean, meaning something about this angel made me want to reverence this angel. She tells her husband. But she tells Manoah, he didn't tell me his name. That's all I can tell you. He just told me what I was to do to prepare myself for the birth of this child. And verse 8 says, then Manoah, he went to the Lord and said, oh, my Lord, let the man of God, which thou didst send, let him come again. You know, just want to make sure we follow the directions that you gave my wife. The Bible says God hearkened unto the voice of Manoah. And the angel of God came again unto the woman. So we know for sure this was a messenger of the covenant sent by God. We're not yet know for sure which angel, which messenger. So this time, the wife goes to get her husband. She made haste, and he comes. And he says to the angel, art thou the man that spake unto my wife? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, let your words come to pass. Please give us the instructions again for this child, what we're to do. And Manoah said, she just needs to follow the commitments that I told her to observe. And verse 15 says, Manoah said then unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall make ready a lamb or a meal for you. Here's where it gets interesting. This angel of the Lord then says, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. See, this just wasn't any angel. This was the messenger of the covenant. This was an Old Testament appearance of our Lord Jesus. A few times he did that. An angel would never receive the type of reception that this angel was willing to accept. Manoah said, listen to this. I mean, what is your name? So when this prophecy comes to pass, we can thank you. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why do you ask what my name is, seeing it's secret? It can only be known if it's revealed. And Manoah took the offering, the kid, and he offered it upon a rock. He offered it unto the Lord. And the Bible says, this angel did wondrously. And Manoah and his wife looked on. It came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from the altar that this angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. I mean, we're talking about the messenger of the covenant. What a tremendous appearance of our Lord. Manoah and his wife fell down on the ground. They were overwhelmed with what they had seen. The angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah, to his wife. And then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And he says, I don't know how we could live. We've seen God. Surely we'll die. But his wife said unto him, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would, as at this time, have told us such things as these. Then we're told how this woman went on and bare a son. We say his name was Samson. The Jewish people call him Shimshon, a mighty powerful man that helped deliver the Jewish people from the Philistines. Here's a special appearance of that one who is the embodiment of the secret place. He even told Manoah that. He's distinguished, great, remarkable, wonderful. That's one of the names of our Lord, is wonderful. Man, I'm so thankful that I can't take any credit in my life for having discovered the way of life myself. Just happened the same way it happened to Peter, by revelation. God made it real to me. Give me a chance, just as he gives you a chance to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and to commit to him and to walk with him. Thank God that he is the minister of the covenant. And if that is true, we have a chance to dwell. I mean, this is just not a Sunday morning thing. For me, it's a way of life. I'm settled in it. It's my home. And I believe God wants us to do just what the scripture says. And the second verse says, if that's true, you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, then you can be bold in your faith and I will say. That's the way verse 2, I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress, my God, and him will I trust. Surely, maybe, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noise and pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Thou shalt not fear for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Look, 1,000 can fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou see and behold the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and dragon shalt thou trample under feet. God says, because you've set your love upon me, therefore I will deliver you. I will set you on high because you've known my name. You shall call upon me and I will answer you. I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver you and honor you. God says, with long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. What a promise for those that want to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. He'll be our refuge and our fortress. That's the first thing it says. I mean, he'll be our defense and he'll be our offense. We've got a place to hide and we got offensive weapons. We've got them both. And we move right ahead in victory. With long life will I satisfy you, show you my salvation. What an opportunity. I remember sitting down with this Hebrew scholar and he says, there's a very special meaning to him hidden in the 17 times that Manoah is mentioned in this chapter because of the significance of 17. He said 17 is comprised of 7 and 10. 7 is the number of completeness. And if you come into a place of salvation, Colossians 1 says, you know, we're complete in Christ. And we have an opportunity not just to add church to our itinerary, but it's a way of life. It's the foundation upon which we base our life. What a revelation that was to me when I could see this. And then he said 10. If you add 10 to 7, that's 17. 10 is a number of accumulation. From 9, you're adding a 0 now. And the more zeros you have, the more accumulation. 10 is a number. And I remember when God first made that real to me in my ministry, he told me, don't get involved in any kind of quick fixes financially. Present the plan of salvation. Present the opportunity for people to tithe to God, give their 10%, and you'll experience accumulation in your ministry. You'll experience increase. Well, it'll be 50 years since I gave my first tithe check in April of 1961. My wife lived almost to within a matter of days of being 80. God's already given me that. I've never had to worry about a bill. I've seen God pay off 3 facilities. I've never begged for money. God has a plan. And I'm so thankful He made that real to me so I could experience accumulation. My car doesn't have any problems. My clothes last longer. I mean, I could name so many things. I was thinking one time, the blessings that God has put in my life, and I thought, I could go right through the alphabet, and there are blessings connected with every letter of the alphabet. He's my Alpha, my Atonement, my Avenger, my Beacon, my Bread, my Branch, my Bridegroom, my Captain, my Covert, my Counselor, the Door of my Faith. He's the Eternal God. He's a Friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's my God, my Guide, my Glory, my Hope, my Horn, my Hiding Place, my Isaac, my Joshua, my Judge, my King, my Keeper, my Lord, my Light. On in the alphabet. He's my Redeemer, my Rock, my Repose, my Refuge, my Surety, Savior, my Truth, my Triumph, my Teacher, my Treasure. On down to He's the King in Zion. You can't take a letter of the alphabet that doesn't describe some way He's blessed us. And He says, to that person that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of my life. David gave us so many promises in this psalm about the angels of God, about God's people. And I think it's a privilege every day just to kind of fall in line with the last 3 verses of Psalm 91. And that's just to set my heart's love on God. I realize I'm a basket case. I realize I'm a dirt bag. I realize I'm nothing. But I can set my love on Him. God says, because you set your love upon me, therefore I will deliver you. I will set you on high because you've known my name. You'll call upon me and I will answer you. I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver you and honor you. With long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. I mean, there's people here that, I mean, you could stand a miracle in your life. Think of that couple down in Texas that living a happy life today. God provided an organ transplant for this man and spoke the word of encouragement to him where he could get up and walk and is successful today. God wants to put you in a place of confidence where you're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Then you can do what verse 2 says, I will say of the Lord. He is, not maybe. He that cometh unto God must believe He is, and He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Why don't you come on up, Jeff, and help me out? I just feel that's pretty much what God's put on my heart. I want to encourage you that's where God wants you to be, in a place of Psalm 91, verse 2, where you can say, He is my refuge. He's my defense. He's my fortress. He's my offense. 1,000 will fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand. You read it in the newspaper. It's not going to come nigh thee. Only with your eyes you can see and behold the reward of the wicked. But God will be with you. He that dwelleth in the secret place. I think the secret place is in Christ. It can be no other place. That angel of the covenant in the Old Testament said he was the secret place. Colossians 3:3 says Christ is the secret place. Matthew 16:13-18 tells that account of Peter learning that God the Father had revealed to him the secret place, and now he had the opportunity to dwell there. How many want to dwell there? I know you do. It's good to lift our hand up and just leave it up for a minute. God, I ask, Lord, that you will show your hand of miracles, God. Be with people that are hurting. They can dwell in the secret place of the Most High. The devil can't do anything about it. They can confidently stay. You're their God. Lord, I just pray that as we conclude this service, you'll see us setting our love upon you. And Lord, I'm asking you to do miracles in the life of your people. Do it, God. So, you know, somebody gave me this special word that I will by no means cut off the weak and the needy in my house, but I help them to grow strong. And that, I know that's come from a person that was praying and wrote that out and gave it to me. If you want to believe God that there's some greater things ahead for you, let's stand. And if you need special prayer or you want to give special thanks to God, maybe you need to come forward and just take a Manoah number 17 stand. Hallelujah. Jeff, God bless you. Lead us. Let's don't limit God how he can bless our lives as we conclude this service.